May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. What a wonderful Sunday we had last week with our bishop, right? There's something so joyous about the way in which our bishop bridges us to the larger church, and we feel that most especially when we're able to welcome her here to worship alongside us. She engaged with your vestry and all of you to think about the gifts you have been given and what you do with them. I heard a similar message when I went to the last of the breaking of the bread with the bishop events this past Thursday. These are the ways she was able to spend time with more than just the people she sees on Sunday. And as she was leading the group to consider the gifts God has given them, she knew that we can sometimes feel uncomfortable talking about our gifts. And so she said to consider one that we all have. We all have a gift from God. Breath. God gives us breath. We just took one, right? And we'll take another one soon, I hope. If that's not the case, raise your hand. I'm struck by that because she's on to something here. Whenever we get talking about God, which is, by the way, the very definition of theology, God talk, we tend to think we have to couch everything in this some, you know, sort of complex language or profundity, right? And perhaps, you know, that's because we're trying to speak about something that's beyond our ability to describe or define. So we can sometimes look at the question about the gifts we've been given by God or the gifts we have to give to God as needing to be awe-inspiring. But the truth is that our very breath is a gift from God. And there are more gifts like them and more gifts that we have to give back to God in ways that maybe we don't realize we do every day. Or perhaps because we don't think that in offering them, they're very valuable. And that brings me to the gospel today. It's a story of Mary anointing the feet of Jesus with nard. Now, it's important not to overlook what she's using to anoint his feet. Nard, or spikenard, as it is sometimes referred to, is made from the Indian Nardostachys yatamansi. I hope I got that right. In ancient days, it was used as a perfume. In its pure form, it's very expensive, costing nearly a year's worth of wages, which is why it was sometimes mixed with inferior oils, and that is why the Gospels explicitly insist on letting us know that this is the real stuff. So that we understand the cost of the gift. As we heard today, Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard. It's also why Judas is furious with Jesus for allowing it and not selling the nard for money to aid the poor. Not for nothing, I can see Judas's point. And I have a problem too with this last to be written gospel ascribing intention to Judas's statements. We don't know what his intentions were. But the words of the authors of this gospel in trying to accuse Judas do remind us of the way in our society we seem to have these purity tests for people that we hold up for scrutiny. I wonder sometimes if we do this because it's easier than resting in the discomfort we have about ourselves. It's better if we can, you know, point the scrutiny someplace else. At any rate, before we accuse Judas here, we might want to check the version of this story in Matthew. As in that narrative, it wasn't just Judas, but all the disciples who objected to the use of this expensive nard. So let's let old Judas off the hook on this one. Lord knows he's going to have enough to be on the hook for later. Now, we've already met Mary and her sister Martha, right? And of course, their brother Lazarus, who, by the way, is looking and smelling much better than the last time Jesus rolled into town, right? When Jesus woke him up from the big sleep after he'd been dead for 4 days. You remember, he'd been in the tomb 4 days, and Martha's like, Lord, he stinketh. He's looking better. And you might also remember, too, that Martha objected to Mary sitting at Jesus' feet before, but she's not saying anything here. Not this time. Why? She clearly knew what was going on. In fact, the thing is, everyone knew what was happening. Yeah, you know, houses weren't like the big McMansions that some people have. And yes, they were pretty open concept, as they like to say a lot on HGTV. But that isn't really why. The thing is, what Mary is doing is filling the room. That perfume would have been powerful, almost intoxicating. They were not only seeing what was happening, they were breathing it in, experiencing it, using perhaps the most powerful of our senses, the sense of smell. Now, as you know, I've been doing a V-blog, which is, for those who are not addicted to the internet, like the rest of us, a way to publish visually what might have been written out in an earlier era. And in Lent, I've been focusing on the way in which our liturgy engages our senses, particularly those of sight and touch and hearing. But of all of our senses, it is smell that will bring us forward the most evocative of responses from our memories, isn't it? As the author Vladimir Nabokov once wrote, smells are surer than sights or sounds to make your heartstrings crack. You know it's true, don't you? Close your eyes for a moment. Go ahead. Close your eyes. And think about what smell makes you most happy. How far back in your memory does that smell take you? Are you a child opening a box of crayons? Or waiting in anticipation of a bite of that cookie fresh from the oven? Perhaps remembering the fresh pine of the family Christmas tree. Okay, open your eyes. That took you someplace, didn't it? You can still smell whatever it was, even if only in your mind. Now, I'll tell you, anybody who's ventured into my office will find Play-Doh somewhere around. I love the stuff. Always had it in my offices through the years, even before becoming a priest. Why? Well, some might say I'm a kid at heart, which is perhaps another way of saying I never grew up, and they'd be right. But the thing is, I love the way it feels in my hand and the way it smells. And yeah, I also love the smell of a brand new box of Crayola crayons, preferably with the little sharpener on the front, you know. It makes me smile. No matter what kind of day I'm having. That's the thing about smell. It has a way of awakening us things long buried, of permeating our outer layers and seeping into the nooks and crannies of our soul in a way that the other senses don't, and lingering in our memory for years. That's one of the things about a strong scent like perfume, too, is that long after it's washed from our skin, we can still smell it, right? It seems to just ooze into our very being and lingers there for a while. Now, the same is true of garlic and curry, and even some unpleasant smells, but let's not go there for now. So thinking about how we can allow a scent to transport us to a time and a place, how powerfully scent can permeate our very being, let's put ourselves in that moment, in that house with Jesus and Mary and all the others. Mary opens the jar of spikenard, gently working this costly oil onto the feet of Jesus, releasing that perfume into the hearts of all there, especially Jesus. And one has to wonder if that wasn't something more than a single act of extravagant love being literally poured out for Jesus. And make no mistake about it, that is what Mary, and for that matter Martha and Lazarus, are offering, given the impact of the cost to all of them, extravagant love, love beyond all measure, all within this humble act of service. Maybe that's why Martha didn't say a word about what Mary was doing that time. That was her gift to Jesus, the one that Martha had proclaimed as the Messiah. Thinking about how that scent must have permeated every pore, one has to wonder if Jesus still had the memory of it in his heart just a few days later when he knelt down himself to wash the feet of his disciples. And what about even still later when he was beaten, betrayed, and left to die on the cross? Was he able to smell the nard oozing from his pores mixed with his sweat and blood? I like to think so. I like to think that in that moment of deep pain, he was able to remember, if only in glimpses, the love offered, the love he graciously received. And perhaps most of all, that in those days just before he was to die, he had been in a home with people who loved him, who fed and nurtured him, who gave him perhaps the greatest gift of all, more expensive than all the nard Mary used, the gift of time with and for Jesus. I was speaking to a friend of mine who's a monk, and as we were discussing this passage, he said that it is this gospel story that is often used in monastic communities, the nard being prayer from a contemplative point of view, as they fill the house of the church with the fragrance of their prayer. And then he added, the costliest thing we give Jesus is our time. The costliest thing we give Jesus is our time. Indeed. You know, we can make our faith so very complicated. But the bishop is right. Maybe the best way to think about who we are, who God is, and what to do with all that is just to take a breath. Start with that gift from God. And remember that we have all been given gifts that we are called to then offer to others, to offer to God. And that perhaps the greatest of these is the gift of love, given in time, or what some might call the ministry of presence, with one another and with God. Palm Sunday, just 1 week from today, begins the most important week in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. In a very real sense, we are at that moment in that house with Jesus, Mary, Lazarus, and Judas, with the entry into Jerusalem and all that will mean just around the corner. We may not have a year of wages to give over to Jesus in the form of expensive perfume, but we have something even more important, even more valuable. This is the nard with which we anoint Jesus, that we will be present with him in no less a way than that scent was as he carried his cross through the streets of Jerusalem. This is the nard with which we anoint Jesus, that we will be present with one another as Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was with Jesus as we gather in Holy Week, filling this house with the fragrance of our prayer. This is the nard with which we anoint Jesus, that we will offer ourselves over to receive the extravagant love of God, and that we will anoint the stranger who we will receive as Christ himself with that same love. The costliest thing we give Jesus is our time. We have a great gift to give to God. The nard of our prayer to fill this church. The nard of our time given over to him and to one another. The nard of our love poured out for him who is the one in need outside these doors. As we enter into Holy Week, what are you willing to give to the one who gave you life? Amen.